We're the green, you know, it's the everything. Everything's green. All right, I have Stephen here because he's the only one here that the belt could fit around. So he's just going to stand here while I, you know, there's many, many perspectives of battle a lot of times. And there's a story of this little kid named Joey who went to his Bible class. His mother dropped him off. And so after the service, she picked him up and she goes, "Well, Joey, what did the Bible teacher tell you about today?" He goes, "Oh, Mom, it was incredible." He says, "It was all about Moses and his battle with Pharaoh." "Really? Yeah. Tell me about it." "Well, you know, all the Hebrews were up against the wall, and all of a sudden Pharaoh, he called on all these engineers, and they put together this pontoons bridge, and all the people walked across it, and then Pharaoh tried to go across it, and they rifed him from the sky with all these airplanes and shooting at him, and then there was a tank battle, and it was incredible." And the mother said, "Joey, did the teacher really tell you that?" He goes, "No, Ma, but he says, you wouldn't believe the story that she told us." Go, you can sit and go in. So, you know, there's a lot of different, you can take the belt off, yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of perspectives of battles. And so that's why we're going through all these different armor. And today's the first one. The first piece is the girdle for the women and the belt for the men. That's what it says. Put on, gird up yourself and put on the girdle in the old King James. So ladies, don't feel like you're left out, you know, just because it just says a belt. And, you know, guys usually put trousers on. So anyway, this is Ephesians 6. And it is 14, and it says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." That's it. So there's the first piece of armor is going to be the belt of truth or the girdle of truth. And when it says, "Take unto you the whole armor of God," it's a command, and it's a military command. That's why I had Stephen come up here and stand up there with the belt on. It's a military command, and it means be snappy and with curtness. No optional for the soldier of the Lord. It's like stand at attention, having therefore stand, put the girdle on. And it's a command to be obeyed at once and once and for all. That's what that, in the Greek, that is the imperative there. A one at once and once and for all. And it also means to keep it on your entire life and don't relax this discipline. Okay? So, there are reports of soldiers in the Roman army complaining about the weight of their armor and fatigue, and they obtained permission to set aside two things, the breastplate and the helmet. Isn't that interesting? They took the stuff off. Sanctifying righteousness against moral sins and the salvation of the onslaught of the Satan. Those are the two things that they got to take off, which we'll get to as other parts of the armor. But too many today lay aside to the detriment of their sanctification in this present life. You know, how many times do we want to take things off because it's too heavy, it's too heavy, it's too hard? And where are we at? So, the girdle. What this means truth, truthfulness, and sincerity. Okay? Truth, truthfulness, and sincerity. The Greek is having girt about, and it's in the middle voice in the Greek, if you understand about Greek, which means it's the Christian's responsibility to do this. Stand therefore, having girded your waist. See? What is it? You gird your waist. You put it on. Your responsibility to do this. And the belt, as all of us know, is the most essential part of what you get dressed every day, isn't it? Because if you don't have a belt on, you're going to lose your pants. Or things are just going to kind of flow out. So, keep this one piece keeps all the other pieces in place. the belt. This belt of truth means no deceits in your relationship to God. Be truthful and be truthfulness and sincere with him. So, like I said, when you take the belt off, you lose your pants. Okay? Now, the belt held three things. One was a shield. Okay, there was a little clip on there for the shield. So when we get to the shield, you'll understand the shield of faith. It also was a place that you could put your sword in. Okay? And also, it kept your breastplate from flapping in the wind. So, no belt, no place to rest your faith. No belt, no place to hang your word, a sword. No belt, no place to keep your righteousness in place. Those three things. So, think about a belt. Most of us wear a belt, but you don't see it. Right? You got a shirt over it, or, you know, a jacket over it, or whatever. You don't see it, right? Especially you don't see a girdle, okay? Let's just say that. So, why does the Holy Spirit start with the middle of the person? Now, you think about this. This is the middle of your body, right? The truth has to be central to the believer for balance. If you get hurt in your hips, your stomach, or your back, it's going to be hard to stand straight. And he's saying, stand up, you know, having put all these things, stand. And it means stand with your shoulders squared back, standing up. My wife's always telling me, stand with your shoulders up, because we all tend to hunch over, right? Maybe there is something to that evolution Neanderthal, you know, stand over there. But we need to stand up and put your shoulders back. Okay? So, the Holy Spirit's building the armor around the girdle and the belt as we build, or he builds the church around the truth. That has to be central. Truth is central. So, is praise and worship meaningful? Yeah. Praise and worship. We have good worship, you know, after that, and you have communion, praising, worshiping God. Yes, it's meaningful. Is prayer vital? Yeah. Social outreach helpful? Yeah. But truth is priceless. It really is. You've got to have the truth. Because if you don't, you're in deception. So, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is profitable. Right? Remember that scripture verse, 2 Timothy 3:16? All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for reproof, correction, training in righteousness, etc. But it says this at the end, that the man of God or the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Isn't that interesting? That's why it's profitable. I have so many people say, well, I think the Bible contains truth, but I don't think it is whole told truth. Really? Which isn't? Oh, yeah, people throw it out, and they say it's, you know, it's got good things to say and whatever, but it's not. The Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. The Word of God is profitable. The Word of God, is all scriptures God-breathed. So, in verse 17 there, 2 Timothy 3:17, it says that you're thoroughly equipped for every good work, and that word is exartizo, and it means completely outfitted. Isn't that interesting? That's the word, completely outfitted. What are we talking about? We're talking about getting dressed and, you know, be ready. So that sounds like a soldier who is fully dressed. Now, I have a Dr. Mitchell Bible that every time I go to Multnomah, not every time, but, you know, I go up there and I go to the library. That's the Mitchell Library. And also they have a guy that is like does the archives. And I got it when Dr. Mitchell, right before he died, about 6 months before he died, one of his brother-in-law had died before him. The guy died at 75, and here's Dr. Mitchell. He's 90-something, you know. And it was in the Pilgrim bookstore, and it was this black Bible. And I like looking at old Bibles, you know. And I looked at it, and I'm looking through it, and the patent date on the back of it is in from Canada, 1922. It has loose leaf. It's a loose leaf Bible, so you can open up the loose leaf and put your notes in it. And it had all this typed notes, and had order of service. I look on the front, it says J. Mitchell. That was embossed, but all the gold had come off the thing. So I asked Philip there, who was the guy that was in charge of the bookstore, and I said, Philip, I said, what is this? He goes, well, this is Dr. Eby's estate. Dr. Eby was Mary Eby, who's Mary Mitchell. That was her maiden name. So it's Dr. Mitchell's brother-in-law. He said, where'd you find that? I said, run in the shelf, $4.95. I'll take it. Thank you. So I brought it over to Dr. Mitchell, and he's like 90, you know, and he's sitting in there, and they had a little office there. And so I got to go in there, and he goes, Laddie, he says, why are you here, Laddie? I says, I found this Bible. I says, I think it's yours. He's looking at it, you know, and whatever. He goes, yeah. He says, so he signs it, you know, and he goes, Laddie, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to seminary, and what do you want to do? I said, I don't know. I'm just going to seminary. Well, he says, would you pray for my heart? He did. He says, my heart's not doing good. He said, would you pray for my heart? So I put my hand on his heart and prayed over him. And then I never had him for class, never saw him again. He died 6 months later, you know, went to be with the Lord. But in that Bible, this is the scripture verse he put in there, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's the Bible verse he wrote. And that word for dwell means take up residence, and richly means luxurious living. Luxurious living. Does the word of God take up residence so that you are living a luxurious life? That's a good question, right? You walk in the word, and the Lord will quicken a word to you as you need and as you study. So, again, this word truth is being truthful, being sincere, but let's look at who is truth. Jesus is truth, right? John 14:6, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the word of God. Can you, you know, I don't think you guys realize when you're reading through during the week, and then I'm not getting together with you about what we're doing as far as you do know it's the truth, the belt of truth, and you know next week's going to be the breastplate of righteousness because it's the next one. And whoever can tell me in sequence the armor, I have a little pin for you. I still have them right here, see? So, when we're all done. So, when so-and-so sharing about, you know, the Word of God in John 1, and then Kathy shared something today, and it was like, it's all these little pieces you'll see as we go through this, and it's like, oh my goodness. We didn't collaborate. We didn't talk about that, but somebody, you know, Bruce shares about the Word, and, you know, it's all these little pieces that come together. So, Jesus is the truth. John 14:6. Jesus is the word of God. John 1, Logos. Jesus is the living word of God reflected in the written word of God. Hebrews 4:12. It also uses the word Logos there. Remember, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing the soul and the spirit. Word Logos is there. But there's also another word for the word. Two words for word. The one is the Logos, and that's Jesus is the word of God, John 1. And also Rhema is the revealed word of God, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the rhema, and that is when the Holy Spirit quickens to you a word from the Bible for and given to you for faith building. You know, you've read through different things, and you said, I've read Hebrews so many times, or I've read 1 John so many times, but in the situation that you're going through, the Lord quickens a word to you. That's what it is. That's the rhema. Okay? So you've got the Logos. That's the word of God. And Jesus is the living word of God reflected in the written word of God. And the rhema is the revealed word of God that the Holy Spirit quickens to you and given to you for faith building. That's the two words for it. So, the word supports everything else. Remember, the belt supports everything else. If you ignore it and your spiritual life starts to fall apart, it is. How quick is it to get out of the Word? Gee, I didn't read my Bible today. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow, grow, grow. That was a little song that the kids had when they were going to Bible class over at Beaverton. Don't read your Bible, don't pray, and you shrink, shrink, shrink. If your Bible is falling apart, you're probably not. I don't know that we have to go around having Bible checkup, but if your Bible's falling apart and the pages are falling apart, you're probably not. because you're reading it. So also, the girdle, ladies, covers the reproductive areas. Same thing with the guys. It covers the loins. Okay? Reproductive areas, that which you produce for God, equals your relationship to the Word of God. You can't live the Christian life on your own strength. Forget it. It has to be on His. But if you're going to produce something for God, your relationship to God is through the Word, and it covers your loin. Otherwise, you end up with spiritual sterility. Make sure I say that right. Spiritual sterility when you get out of God's Word. Because in 1 Peter 1:23, it says what? That you are born again by the Word of God, which is an incorruptible seed. And that word seed is spermata, where we get sperm from. And being born again by the Word of God, 1 Peter 1:23, is that if you're not in the Word, you're not producing something for God. You're not birthing something for God. Think about it. That's the reproductive areas, and that's exactly what Peter's saying. That you are born again by the Word of God, by the seed, the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. So, what happens if you're not in the Word outside of church service? You shrink, shrink, shrink. Yeah. This should not be the only time when you open up your Bible. Right? I mean, when we go around sharing, it's because you guys have been in the Bible and you say, yeah, I have something to share. Does your mother still dress you? God help us, right? Some of us are going, oh, Lord, help us. But really, think about it. Does your mother still dress you? If so, you're still a child. Sunday message should just confirm what God has been showing you during the week. That's all it should do. So, are you moved by the message or are you changed by the message? Think about it. Are you moved by the message? Listen, I'm no great orator. I know that. But are you moved by the message or are you changed by the message? I think that you could get changed when you're in your Word and it's just confirming things and it's like, how did Peter know that? Why did he say that? It's like he's reading my mail. No, it's the Holy Spirit's doing something and he's speaking to you. And all I'm doing is just confirming because I didn't know. I didn't talk to you during the week. We're just going through this. So does your mother still dress you? You know? Does she have to put the belt of truth on you, or can you put your belt? Remember, it's the responsibility of the Christian to put their belt on. And the Sunday message should just confirm what God shows you during the week. If not, you're going to be malnourished, weak, sickly, and somebody else has to attend to your needs. Like my wife this week was in the hospital, you know, for 5 days, and, you know, she had surgery. So people are attending to her needs until she gets strong again. But here is, if you're not reading your Word, you're going to be malnourished, you're going to be sickly, you're not going to be mature, or you just go after these little things and you're feeding on milk all the time. You know? We try as much as I can. I try to give you milk, manna, and meat every week. Okay? Milk for the, you know, the young in the, that are young in the Lord and stuff like that. Manna is the bread, you know, need bread. But if you just lived on milk and manna, it's like, your dentures fell out or something. That's all you can eat. But the meat, you need also meat. And I think a lot of times people are in the church and they're just feeding on the milk and they get, I don't know about you, if you drink too much milk, you get the runs and you runs right out of the church. And I think that's what happens. I think people just runs right out of the church because all they're doing is feeding on milk. So that's why we got to make sure we got milk, manna, and meat. Milk is these new little things, you know, okay, we'll put a belt of truth on or whatever. The manna is your daily bread, daily, and your meat is, hey, what? I didn't know that Greek word meant that. Oh, okay, yeah, that's interesting because that applies to such and such. So let me finish with 2 Thessalonians 2:10-11. this is a strong word, but this is how we're supposed to end. And this is about the coming of the lawless one in verse 9. And this is about the great apostasy, which I think we're just seeing the tip of it. You think that you're seeing it. You haven't seen it yet. The coming of the lawless one is in accordance with the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Now, in verse 10, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. The love of the truth. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they may believe the lie and that they may all be condemned who do not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Wow. That's 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 12. That's a strong word, isn't it? He says he sends them strong delusion because they didn't love the truth. And then they didn't love the truth, they didn't believe the truth, and they went into unrighteousness, which is the next piece of the armor, is the breastplate of righteousness. Kind of all comes together. So, we need to love the truth. We need to receive it. We need to follow it and not be deluded and deceived that we go into unrighteousness. Because that's the first time. If you stop reading the word, stop believing the word. I got so many people saying, I don't trust God. Really? Who are you trusting? Your 401 stock options? No. Are you trusting in yourself? How's that working for you? It ain't working so good. So, if your Bible's falling apart, you're probably not. And that's the word. And so the truth, got to put the belt on that holds everything up, holds everything together, just like a girdle, right? Holds everything together. Just like the guys with the pants, you know, holds up your pants and so that you can walk and not trip over yourself. All right, well, let's put our Bibles aside. And we've got the first piece. There it is, first piece of armor on. I'm going to do something that I haven't done in a long time. I'm going to have you close your eyes, okay? And I want you, this is not a salvation thing. I think probably most everybody's saved here. But this is about, we're going to do this for each piece. And I really want you to be before the Lord and say, you know what? I am beltless. I don't have my girdle fixed. I need truth. I need to be in the truth. I have wavered from that and wandered from it. So I don't want anybody looking, but I want you to just acknowledge it before the Lord. You raise your hand before the Lord and say, you know what, Lord, I need to be more in the word and I need to make sure that my belt's tight. Okay, great. 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 So, Lord, I just pray that you would recognize every one of these hands and those people that say, you know what, I need to have the truth fixed strong because it is priceless. If we lose that belt, we lose the whole thing. So, Lord, help us to remember that it's our responsibility to do this. It's the most essential part of all the armor, and it keeps all the other pieces in place. That, Lord, you are the truth. You are the Word of God. You're the living Word of God. And the Holy Spirit also uses that to reveal and quicken to us when we need to have our faith built. So, Lord, like Dr. Mitchell wrote in that Bible I have, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And, Father, I just really pray that we who are born again by the Word of God can produce for you because we have our relationship with you is strong. And Lord, I do pray that, yeah, we have a message every week and we can get moved by it, but I pray that we're changed by it, that we're really changed by it, not because of what I wrote down here, but because the Holy Spirit quickens it to us that we need this. We all need this. So, Father, I just pray as we pass the baskets and the brother Paul. brings the baskets around for tithes and offerings. I pray that you'd bless that you would bless this church, Lord. We're an older church, but we're young at heart. And I just really pray, Lord, that you would allow us to minister to people during the week who need to hear a fresh word from you. In Jesus' name, amen.